Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody. This is Bonnie Kay and my co-host, Misty Hall. Welcome you tonight to the Straight Wives Talk Show. Straight Wives Talk Show is a hard-hitting show that discusses the complexities of marriages between straight women to gay men. And each week, my co-hostess Misty Hall and I discuss issues that affect over 4 million women in this country and millions more around the world who find themselves unknowingly married to a gay or bisexual man. So good evening, everyone, and good evening to you, Misty.
Good evening, Bonnie. How are you today?
I'm doing good. Misty, you got here just in the nick of time.
I did. I had trouble getting on. Sorry about that.
4 seconds before we started, I was panicking.
I was, too. I was on the other end, kept calling in. For some reason, my call would not go through, so the panic was mutual on both sides, dear.
I was thinking, oh, my goodness, what am I going to do if I have to do this alone? What will I have to say? But thankfully, you showed up in the nick of time. So how are you tonight, Missy?
I'm doing wonderful, just a little frantic from not being able to get through. But other than that, I'm doing wonderful. It's been a wonderful day and a magnificent life.
Good. And welcome to all of our listeners who are listening to us from all over the world. We do appreciate you turning in and giving us the support and the beautiful letters that you send us. Tonight we have an open forum, which means that if you would like to call us and discuss anything at all, please get your pencil handy and write down our number. And our number here is area code 646-716-4893. I'll repeat it for you one more time. It's area code 646-716-4893. So, we have several different things that I want to go into tonight, Misty, but before we do, I would like to just play a song for some of our listeners out there, because we were just talking about this song in our chat room.
Oh, please
do. So, all of our women in the chat room, I would like to play this song for you, because it did come up, and we will dedicate it to Jeanette. Jeanette, I hope you're listening. Can you hear it, Misty?
Yeah, not great, but I can hear it.
That song, but I think the message is very important, and we were talking about this earlier in our chat room, and I think it's so important that women have to realize that they have strength that they may have forgotten that they have when they're living in marriages that they're not supposed to be living in. And sometimes a lot of our women get very paralyzed or stuck in the muck, and they start doubting themselves, and they start doubting the situation. Because as Misty puts it so beautifully, they're living in what she calls the circle of crazy. And Misty, could you talk about that a little bit?
Absolutely. I would love to talk about that. And the reason I know so much about the circle of crazy, I want to make clear out there in this world, I've lived in the circle of crazy. And I think most all straight wives have. And in defining the circle of crazy, basically what happens is, once you cross over into someone else's false life, someone else's untrue identity, that being the gay husband, because they're not living their truth, once you cross over into their circle of crazy, meaning they don't know how to make sense of their world. So it sort of sucks us into it in many different ways, because what we do as a straight wife and as a woman, unfortunately, culturally, we keep thinking we have to try harder, do more. So that's what we do. We end up in this vicious cycle of just being pulled into this circle of crazy. And once you cross that imaginary line and going into someone else's circle of crazy, where they're not living their truth, you also lose sight of who you are. You also keep conforming to things that are not normal. Many things that are unnormal become normal to you. You redefine your set of standards, and it's not a healthy set of standards. It's not healthy for either side. And living in that set of crazy, that circle of crazy, as I call it, not set of crazy, but certainly I had a set of crazy ideas going on. I didn't realize the depth of abuse, and I come from a different background than a lot of our straight wives do. I had the physical and the mental abuse from the gay husband. So once I just subscribed to his set of ideas and his set of norms, in which he didn't even know what they were, once I stepped inside of that, I no longer knew what was normal, and I kept conforming to things, and I let it become my normal. I let things become normal that were very dangerous to me as a human being. And that's what happens when you're dancing inside that circle of crazy. You cannot discern facts from fiction, truth from untruth, because you're busy trying to create a new set of normal.
And that's
and
a way
not
for
an easy
people
life.
To, that's like a defense mechanism in order to or a survival
it
mechanism.
Is.
It's not
you're
like
living in survival mode constantly.
Exactly.
And that's no fun place to live.
Exactly. And so you start thinking, you know, if you repeat a lie enough, you even start believing it yourself.
Absolutely. I believe all kinds of stuff that I can't believe I believed today, you know. But, of course, I'm not dancing inside the circle of crazy.
Right. And as long as you're in that circle of crazy, it's really hard to think straight outside that box or circle. So
you cannot have clear discernment when you're inside of it. Clarity is not there.
And I think that's why so many women get really stuck and paralyzed inside that circle. So if you're one of those women who are listening and you're having these doubts and you're thinking that you can never get out of that circle of crazy, no, that's why we play that little song by Helen Reddy that's many, many years old. But, you know, if you want to, you can do anything, and it's one step at a time. You know, it's really interesting, Misty. I have women who write to me who tell me that they feel they're going to commit suicide, and I get very upset when I get those letters. Because, and you know, I try to respond to them within the moments that I get them. But I feel very sad about it, that a woman has to feel that her life is sunk to such a point that it's not even worth living anymore, that somebody could get her into that mental state. And when I read those letters, how despondent people are, of course, then I go back to when I was living like that, and I felt like committing suicide, and maybe that's why I make that connection. And I know that all of us, you know, have thought about these things at some point or another when we're so unhappy in a marriage. But some people are really stuck there and they just can't find their way out. So if you are a woman in that situation, don't feel that you're isolated and alone. You know, write to me, join our support network, join our support group. You know, we can hook you up with pain pals. You know, we can do other things to help you feel not so alone. But you can't, you know, get so stuck there that you can't even see the light. So I appreciate you bringing up that circle, Misty, and hopefully some of our women will take that advice and reach out
exactly.
And try to get
and
out
you know,
there,
I'd like
right?
to bring something else up too, Bonnie, that I think comes up in our in your chat room often when we speak in there, is, you know, I think some of the women lose sight and think that they should be jumping out of this as strong as you and I are at this time. And, you know, what I want people to realize, we did not jump out of this relationship as strong as we are today. We had to find that inner strength, and that was not easy.
No, I was very weak during that time.
I was too. And
I'm sorry to tell you that. You know, I feel embarrassed when I look back on that period of time because I was such a strong woman going into my marriage.
Exactly.
I was one of the strongest women that I knew. In fact, you know, people always amazed at, you know, my inner strength. And I went into that marriage feeling strong, but it wasn't long mm-hmm. before that strength became very, you know, very weak.
Exactly. And I think that some straight wives get discouraged because they think they should be jumping out of this relationship as strong as we are right now. And strength builds. And that's why your support chat is so helpful, is when you come in there, there's women from all different stages of the healing process. women that have been out for years, women that are just discovering, women that are somewhere in the middle, stuck between. And when you get in there, it's just a synergistic effect of getting support from everyone that love and that care, knowing that they understand. So that's how you get, you got to reach out for support when you're weak. You have to reach out from, you know, to others, to borrow from others' strength, to see that you're not crazy when you're dancing inside that circle of crazy, because you need someone to remind you that you're not crazy.
And I think one of the first things that women have to do, and it's really hard a lot of times when they're living this life, you know, it's so much easier once you're free of it, but when you're living in a marriage that's not meant for you to live in, but you still have to start moving ahead. I know that Misty and I talk all the time about rebuilding self-esteem, which is really difficult when you're living in a beaten down situation. But there are little tips and little things that you can do to start building some of that self-esteem. And, in fact, when we have our workshop in November in Florida, we're going to be doing a lot of self-esteem building and a lot of different workshops on how to build your self-esteem. But one little thing that you can do, and I think Misty and I can each give you a little tip, and it may not sound like much, but every little tip you take and every one you act on is really going to help. But I know that when I was going through this, one thing that I did that really helped focus me was to sit down and start thinking about who I was before this marriage and what I liked about myself, because a lot of times you start hating yourself in these marriages because you don't think you're capable of doing anything right. But if you really sit down and make up an honest list, think of 10 things about yourself that you really admired about yourself before you got married or before you were in this situation, you know, 10 things that you were proud of, and start to reflect on that so that you can start regaining who you were before, because a lot of times you do lose your identity. Wouldn't you say so, Misty?
Oh, my goodness. I certainly did, especially dancing. I danced really hard inside that circle of crazy, so I completely lost identity. I would describe myself as a hollow shell of a human being walking around. I'd lost all my spirit, all my gumption, motivation, whatever you want to call it. It wasn't there anymore. That was gone.
So do you think that idea?
I think that is one of the most precious places to start. I mean, it is absolutely, it's life-changing. And when I tell the women that I work with, and I know you tell the women you work with as well, it is the simple things. It's not the leaps and bounds, the sky parting and an angel singing to you to tell you what to do. You know, it's the simple things. You have to put your foot out there and do those simple things. And I have another one I tell Bonnie to do. I would be happy to give the tip. It goes right along with what you just said, except it's just a little bit different with the list thing. I tell people, because, you know, sometimes we get women that they are in such a shape, they cannot tell me one good thing about themselves. And I can see all kinds of good things about them, but they can't even see one good thing about themselves. And I tell women, go to some of your most positive, trusted friends. Now, I'm not talking about friends that put you down. I'm talking about friends that build you up and say nice things to you. Ask that friend to tell you 5 things that are wonderful about you. And find at least 1 to 2 friends to do that. You know, you need a list, like you said, at least 10 to 15 things. That's not many things. And, you know, it will help transition you and see, you know, wow, this is what this person thinks of me. This, I may embody these things. Because some of these women, you know, they've lived in negativity so long, they don't believe in anything. I've literally worked with women before that have said, and I mean, I've been at this point too, I can identify with it. I don't even know what I want to have for dinner. I can't even make that decision because they feel so lost.
And that's really sad when you get to that point.
It is. It is.
But I know that I was there, so I'm, you know, I can really appreciate it, and I don't forget it, even though it was many years ago, but I can still remember it because those scars never totally go away.
Exactly. You know, they fade, but you know they're there.
Exactly. Well, I wanted to talk about a few different things tonight, and I received a really compelling letter this week, and even though I know this is a straight wives show, I really feel it's important for women to understand where gay men are coming from, and I'm not you know, making an argument in defense. I mean, I think I'm really clear where I stand, that these marriages are a mistake, and in almost all cases that I know of, except for a couple, men really go into these marriages loving their wives the best that they're able to love them. And they're really hoping these marriages are going to work. And some of these men are really good husbands. It's not like they are all abusive and all bad. You know, we certainly deal with some of those, but there are some wonderful gay husbands. And, you know, I like to talk about them because there are women who I don't want them not to relate to the show because they had a great husband and now they're feeling guilty because we had bad ones and they didn't. The bottom line is gay, and it doesn't matter whether you're nice, not nice, it doesn't change the situation. But a lot of times women don't understand, how can this happen, why is this happening to me? And I know I've been really very lucky to have my friend Doug, who's in Michigan, who's been able to help a lot of our women to get a better understanding, you know, and I always send women out his newsletter answering the questions that women ask the most. But I did receive this wonderful letter this week, and I got permission from the writer. His name is Mark, and I asked him if I could read this letter because I think that Mark really articulates this pain that men go through, because a lot of times we're unable to understand what their, you know, what their whole issues are and what their side of it is. So I would like to read this letter. And it says, "Dear Bonnie, I am writing as I am unable to hide my secret any longer. I am in pain. I need someone to talk to, someone who may listen as I enter a terrifying phase in my life. Yes, you guessed right, I am bisexual, probably gay, in a heterosexual marriage. The situation is extremely painful to me. Why? Because I sincerely love my wife and my 7-year-old son. I can no longer deny my true sexuality, however. Sexual activity with my wife grounded to a sudden screeching halt in December of last year when I suddenly ceased to function in a heterosexual context and my homosexual emotions reached unprecedented heights. Why did I get married in the first place? I truly loved and still love my wife. She is the most wonderful person, hardworking, loving, sweet-natured, and a very good mother to our son. I married her out of love. I was aware of my homosexual traits, but I used to believe that I may happily ignore them for the rest of my life. The love has never ceased to exist, but years of repressed sexual emotions has caused a sudden surge in my same-sex desires, and I may no longer deny now who I truly am. I have no problem with being gay. It's who I am. Why should I have a problem with that? What really makes me cry is the pain I have to cause to the people I love the most. That I married my wife out of love may never be doubted. I took on myself a great risk when I married my wife. She told me that her mother died of a terrifying hereditary disease and that she had a 50% chance of inheriting the faulty gene. I dreaded the idea that she may have inherited the gene that would have no one to care for her if the disease did strike. This is ultimate proof that it was out of love. A 100% heterosexual man might have shied away at this very thought, but I stayed on because I loved her, and I always will. That is why it is so painful. When two people divorce, love would have long died, but our love is still alive and well. But my recent intensification of my gay tendencies is a clear indication that the situation is untenable and I need to come out. I love my wife, but romantic feelings or the thrill of intimacy have long ceased to exist. I used to think that love conquers all. The sad truth is, it doesn't. I would not blame a gay man for stepping into a heterosexual relationship. Pastors blame disasters such as Hurricane Katrina and September 11th on gay people. Homophobic gay jokes abound on sitcoms on TV, and having a vehemently homophobic father does not help either. Who then can accuse us, married gays, of cheating as we give in to our urge to be ourselves, the human right that has been denied us by society, by forcing us to remain in the closet to deny our true selves? Our sins are not our own. Our sins are the sins of anybody who has spewed hatred towards us gays, who has mocked us, who has belittled us, who has ridiculed us, who has made us feel like we are an abomination. Our sins are the sins of Christianity, a religion that preaches love on one hand but practices intolerance on another. No, dear Bonnie, this is only adding insult to injury. We are driven to deny ourselves. We are quite literally married off to people towards which we have little, if any, sexual attraction, and then we are lumped with guilt feelings as we attempt to be ourselves. I am so sorry I will have to cause heart-wrenching pain to my lovely, beautiful wife. I will attempt to do this in such a way that causes as little pain as possible. I cry every Sunday afternoon when we used to be intimate with each other. She wonders why. At least when I do come out to her, she will be relieved to know that there is a reason for my weird behavior. I don't want to tear my family apart, but now the situation has reached a point of no return. I hope that when I do come out, I will be able to help other people facing a similar predicament to educate society that gay people are really normal human beings who may contribute positively to society, and that homophobia in any form is evil as it robs a person of his or her happiness, identity, self-esteem, and sexual fulfillment, and it hurts innocent third parties too. I dream of a better world for all of us. Thank you so much for listening. Mark. And when I read this letter, you know, I really get it. I understand it. I mean, here's a guy who really loves his wife. And I think in most cases, once again, I'm not discounting, you know, some of the horror stories that we've gone through, but there are a lot of men out there who marry their wives because they truly love them. And they're living in a world where, you know, gay is not accepted. And they're hoping that they don't have to be that. So how did you feel about this letter, Misty?
I think it was very well stated. I think, you know, I know this side of the closet door, as I call it, the straight side. And I even though I had a rough, abusive marriage, I think in the beginning he married me for what he thought was all the right reasons, just as Mark said. You know, they think they can love someone. They think they can change their sexuality because, you know, who would wish this on themselves? That's a hard life. It's a hard life. It's full of ridicule. It's full of, you know, being made fun of. And, you know, I just know a little bit about that, not with my sexuality, but where I grew up. And I try to, you know, I know they're not the same. I'm not comparing apples to apples. You know, I realize that. But being from Eastern Kentucky and the Appalachian Mountains, oftentimes, you know, you're made fun of. You don't have, people say, oh, you don't have teeth, you go barefoot, you're not educated, all these things. And people make fun, and it hurts when you're made fun of, things like that, especially when you're growing up. So I can't even imagine, you know, of course, I'm just clumped into a category of where I'm from, but I can't even imagine, you know, my sexuality being attacked, being made fun of. And, you know, obviously I can't hide who I am because people on the show can hear my voice. They can tell I'm not from where you are, Bonnie. But, you know, it's just so unfortunate that that people just cannot see that someone who would wish this on themselves, who would wish themselves a life of heart pain and all this. And, you know, all I can say is my heart goes out to Mark. I hope he's able to tell his wife. I hope they can come to peace and understanding. It's not easy. But like you and I both have said, the truth is better than living in a lie. It's better to tell now than wake up.
And, in fact, I'd just like to read another article that one of our members sent me. And it was interesting because I'll talk a little bit more about the article she actually sent me. It was about children of, you know, gay parents,
mm-hmm.
because that's going to be our focus in September. You know, I'm starting a support, you know, network for, you know, adult children of gay parents because there's very little support for them. And I read the article, which I will talk about a little bit later. But when I went a little further, it had other articles, too, and I thought this one was also very compelling. And it's called In the Name of the Father. When Jonathan's middle daughter gets married this year, he won't be walking her down the aisle. Jonathan's children, two girls and a boy, don't talk to him anymore. The uneasy peace brokered after Jonathan came out to his family in 2000 after 25 years of marriage was severed 9 months ago when his children found out that Jonathan had quietly wed his much younger lover. When Jonathan's middle daughter gets married this year, when my partner and I decided to get married, I didn't want to rub salt into the wound, said Jonathan. They found out, as did my ex-wife, through mutual friends. So now I have a situation where my kids are in real standoff that I withheld something from them. Not that that would have said good for you, not that they would have said good for you. Despair creeps into Jonathan's voice as he wonders whether his ties to his children can ever be rehabilitated. Over the past several months, he has received letters from his adult children indicating his fathering skills, questioning his character, and asking him to stay out of their lives. I'm basically shut out, he said. This kind of discord isn't entirely unpredictable when Dad announces that he's gay after decades of marriage to Mom. For gay men who marry women, the decision to bury their authentic sexuality is often an act of denial and self-preservation. But when an identity crisis erupts in midlife, it presents an adjustment for the entire family. And coming out to older kids with a full grasp of the potential implications and a fully formed impression of who their parents are supposed to be can be the toughest part. For Jonathan, coming out wasn't a choice implemented as part of the strategic game plan. He was forced to come out to a disbelieving family when his son, then 18, stumbled across Jonathan's internet history. It kind of blew up from there, said Jonathan. I just explained that I've got some other feelings, and I've been trying to suppress them, but this is who I am. He didn't take it very well. Jonathan told his wife the next morning and his two daughters a couple of weeks later. After a brief stint of family counseling, he moved out of the house. Sherry McLeod, executive director of PFLAG, which is the Parents and Friends of Lesbian Gays Canada, because that's where this article was written, says that coming out in midlife after or in the course of straight marriage isn't particularly uncommon. Quote, research shows that 29% of gay men do marry someone from the opposite sex before coming out. And I'm just saying this, Misty, I think 29%, think about that. Many people are trying to find their way in their early years and want to be accepted. Mm-hmm. For Paul Carr, who now heads Gay Fathers of Toronto, one of the country's oldest gay support networks, getting married to a woman was a desperate attempt to evade his true sexual nature. I had attractions to men, but I didn't want to be gay, said Carr, who was married for 33 years. This was in the early 1960s. It was illegal, a sickness, and a sin. When Carr started seeing his first psychiatrist 7 years into his marriage, his objective was to be cured of being gay. When he did finally come out to his wife and three adult children 12 years ago, after decades of filtering everything you say to make sure you don't give away this big secret, he says that his announcement was hardly a surprise. Generational differences are often evident in children's reactions, says Adam Hunt, who facilitates an Ottawa-based support group, out in the middle for gay, bi, trans, or queer men over the age of 40. Quote, for people in their 30s, right down to the teens, there's a lot more acceptance of this stuff. And I think a lot of gay men in their 40s and 50s who are talking to their adult children are finding a high degree of acceptance. Ross and Wayne had been together for years before they finally came out to their teenage children from previous marriages. They recognized how agonized it was to break the news to their children, fearing they wouldn't understand. Quote, I went back home to our mother and said, there's something you need to know. And I told her, and she said, yeah, I know that already. It's just like, okay, next. There is no perfect time to challenge a child's perception of who you are, even if that child is all grown up. But Stephen Solomon, a social worker with the Toronto School Board who runs a branch of Collage, Children of Lesbian and Gays Everywhere, says that there are ways to mitigate the impact. Solomon suggests a direct yet gentle approach, ensuring the kids hear the news from the parent and not some other source. He recommends coming out sooner than later. Quote, often the kids come back with, why didn't you tell us sooner? He also says that older children sometimes struggle with a lot of the same issues as younger children, including how to tell friends and accepting new partners. From the parent's point of view, you have to be clear in your mind about who you are and what it means, says Ross. Identify that I'm still your dad, I'm still here no matter what you want, no matter what, and I'm open to whatever you bring me. We've always kept an open mind from a parenting perspective, and I think we've done a good job. Our children are extraordinary people, very loving, very caring, and supportive of each other. Hunt says that the fear of rejection can plague dads who contemplate coming out, that children will say something like, you're not the father I know, I can't live with this, and I don't want to talk to you anymore. That certainly does happen, but it's not perhaps as common as most people fear it is. It might not be common, but it's the reality Jonathan knows too well. He holds out hope that his children can soon reconcile, but he doesn't anticipate that they'll ever completely embrace his new life. I don't expect them to accept my partner, he says, but I would meet them anywhere, anytime. I really feel hurt that I can't be part of their lives. It's not just the last 6-7 years. There's a whole lifetime there. And that's the end of the article.
Wow. That will really tug at your heart.
Well, you know, it's like I say, it's such a sad situation all the way around. These are complex situations that have no easy answers. And as much as I am for our women, and I am, you know, I still have a lot of sympathy for the men because, you know, their lives are tough also. The only thing I say is that, you know, I feel that men have the obligation to be honest as soon as they know. And, you know, when they know is when they're acting on it, and that's my whole issue. You know, I can certainly understand why gay men get married. I understand the social pressures, and I'm very sympathetic to that, and you know that I am. But I'm not sympathetic to it when they're out there, you know, having sex with other men, bringing home sexually transmitted diseases to their wives, not thinking anything about it, living a lie, you know, and even when their wives confront them, they're making their wives feel as if they're crazy. And that's, you know, where all of our issues come into play. But it's certainly a sad situation for a lot of these men who are really, really struggling and who are living a life that's not their life for many years also.
Absolutely. It impacts the whole family. This is a situation that is, a lot of people categorize it as, oh, it's just a normal divorce, a normal separation. Well, it's not. It's more complicated. There's more like, you know, in counseling we often use an onion as an analogy. You have to peel back the layers. You know, it grows in layers. Therefore, you got to take off layers at a time to get to the root of the, you know, what's going on and for healing. With these type of situations, there's definitely more layers of complication. It impacts the whole family, everything from the parents to grandparents to children, the children's friends. I work with a lot of parents that that need help and ask, you know, help. How do the children tell their friends? They're afraid to tell their friends. They love their father, but they're afraid to tell their friends because they don't know how their friends are going to react. So it just impacts the whole, you know, the whole family unit. And it's a sad situation because everyone's circumstances are unique. And, you know, hopefully most people, you know, embrace this and will still embrace their children's friends and so forth. But, you know, that's not always the case. There's a lot of homophobic people that live in there, that live out there, that don't understand it and are not very compassionate towards it.
The first article that led me to that article was about children who have gay parents, so I'll read you that also. And it's called Outing Mom or Dad. And it says, I have two moms. Against her better judgment, 12-year-old Robin Wagg let her friends in on her secret, and it didn't go well. People tease me a lot because I have gay parents and think that I'll be a lesbian, Robin says. I tell them I'm not going to be a lesbian, and sometimes I just walk away. Robin's birth brother, Brandon, 10, shrugs as she tells her story. I told her not to tell anyone, he says matter-of-factly, adding that Robin's lucky to have two moms. Why? Easy. He and his sister get double the love. There's no question that there's a lot of love at this veneer home, but Brandon waited longer to tell any of his friends and says he still doesn't broadcast it. Although most kids his age probably can't spell the word, homophobia still exists on the playground. Catherine Arnup, a Carleton University professor who's written extensively about gay parenting issues, says the seriousness of homophobia depends on the age group and locale. Urban centers tend to be more open, aware, and accepting. She says ages 12 to 15, the hormones war zone ages where kids are developing their own sense of orientation, is where most of the jockeying and teasing goes on. Arnup hears a lot of, oh, that's so gay comments when she describes as the less seemingly allowable form of discrimination. That said, things are better than it used to be. I'm not pessimistic. I believe most people change their attitudes by knowing people, so the more open gay couples are, the more that change will happen. Away from the playground, Robin and Brandon's home life couldn't be better. The children were adopted by Julie and Holly Wagg in early 2007 after being taken from their birth mother by the Children's Aid Society. They started calling both Arlene and Wagg Mom a few months after they moved in with them. They like to talk about the differences between the two women. Elaine likes to go fishing, doesn't mind putting worms on a hook, and cooks dinner most nights. She's also a willing guinea pig for Robin's magic fingers, which have massage therapy ambitions. Wag likes to garden and is a whiz when it comes to baking. She doesn't like handling dead fish. The children chose their new parents as much as the women chose them. When discussions began about matching the kids with Elaine and Wag, Brandon said he was confused because I didn't know about gay. Now both are comfortable. I feel like I've lived here forever. I have a hard time remembering life before, Robin says. When the siblings went to Ten Oaks Camp, a summer camp for kids of gay parents founded by Elaine and Wag, they experienced joy and relief, says Robin, because they weren't the only ones. Michelle Spracklin and Frank O'Driscoll split up a little more than a year ago when their dad came out of the closet. They decided downtown living might be more hospitable for their new situation. That's why Rory O'Driscoll, a curly-haired 12-year-old who used to spend all his time playing road hockey on his Spill Street, now calls Gleb an old Ottawa home. His sister Evelyn, 15, is also now an urbanite and Canterbury High School student. Like most children of divorce, they were more concerned about the breakup of the family than the reason for it. I wasn't angry. I was more shocked. It was like, oh, my God, you like men, Evelyn remembers. But mostly I was relieved because of all of a sudden the breakup made sense. Once we verbalized that your dad's gay, both kids were quite good about it, says Spracklin. It was instant understanding and relief. It was after coming out that Evelyn, O'Driscoll started to like you again. Evelyn finishes with a laugh. Her friends were shocked but unconcerned by the news. Rory found out 2 months later. I understood immediately he was gay, but there was nothing changed about him. It wasn't really that much of a problem for me. Probably the biggest thing for me was moving away from my friends. Rory hasn't shared his dad's sexuality with too many friends. I don't think they'd be as open as Evelyn's friends. But he corrected a friend when he made the "that's so gay" remark. I told him he shouldn't say that, and he asked if I was gay. I said no, but I know people who are, and they wouldn't like that remark. Evelyn, who was also involved in Canterbury's Pride Club, and Rory took the part in the Ten Oaks camp, which they said was like any other camp, but it was nice not to have to feel shy about referring and passing to their dad's boyfriend. 23-year-old Kate Collins was 13 when she found out that her dad was gay. While both parents were supportive, she found the lack of resources available to her was bewildering. Although she worked with Ten Oaks, when she graduated from high school in 2003, there was no support for her and her younger brother as straight children of the gay man. She remembers giving a speech about having a gay father in her first year university class, and everyone looked at me like I was a freak. As a child of a gay person, you're on the front line of homophobia, even though you're heterosexual, said Collins, who was close to her dad and his partner. You're constantly fighting a war that isn't even yours. You want to advocate for it to support your family, but you try to find your space in the movement, and there isn't anything else besides Ten Oaks. And that was the article. So that talks a little bit about what children have to go through. And, you know, like I say, this is a problem that certainly affects the family in many ways, you know, many different ways. And ways that, you know, other couples don't. As we've often said, Misty, all couples who have come from divorce have issues. But when there's a gay parent, you know, there's all these extra added issues that people don't really think about.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, each situation is unique, but there's always additional layers, and I like to call it complications or implications, whatever you like to call it, that a gay-straight marriage goes through, especially with the children. You know, there never seems to be a right time to tell children or tell the spouse, but, you know, honesty is, I feel, is always the best policy. And also, you know, when you tell children, You tell them in their language. Children don't need very many details. It just needs to be age appropriate. You know, you and I both know that. And the great thing about children is children just want love and stability, you know. So if the parents can handle it well among themselves and then tell the children, I think sometimes you have a better outcome. But not always. You know, each situation is different. And it's not an easy situation to be in for the children or the parents.
You know, I think there's just so many variables with this and that no two situations are the same. excuse me, as I always tell gay men, you know, the main thing is being responsible to your family. If you're emotionally and financially responsible, then it's much easier for the healing process to take place. But for some men who just walk away and, you know, they're in their own life now, and that gay alien force, you know, takes over and they walk away from their families and they're interested in their boyfriends. They don't, you know, their families aren't the priority anymore. And it's not like, as some gay men try to explain it to me, it's not like they stop loving their children. It's just that they have a chance at a life that they've always wanted and never had an opportunity before, so they walk away. And that, you know, years later they could come back, but of course a lot of the damage is done by then.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the problem. And there's a lot of issues, as I tell men, gay men, that's really important to understand also, that you have spent a lifetime trying to understand yourself. You struggled, you've tried to be who you're not, you know, and every day you're living this lie and struggling against nature to be somebody who you can't be. But, you know, it can take you 10, 20, 30 years to finally accept who you are. And I think it's really unfair to expect that within a few months or a year or two that your wife is going to just be able to pick up on it and say, okay, I understand it all, when it took you so many years to understand it. So
exactly.
I think that's part of the problem, too. There's, you know, time factor and a timeline that just doesn't seem to mesh for gay men when they're coming out and having their wives accept it. You know, that's why I think it's a very big part of the problem, too. And if you would like to call in and talk to us, we're more than happy to take your calls at area code 646-716-4893. One of the things I'm trying to do, Miss Misty, is, you know, some wonderful gay men to come on this show. You know, I've written to a few of them in hopes that they will, you know, to try to explain things in a way that's more understandable for us to understand. And I think that's really important. I know that last week when Wendy was our guest, she gave me, you know, the name of an author. I wrote to him. I'm hoping he'll be willing to come on. And also, I've written to several other, you know, gay organizations this week in hopes that there are some men who are willing to come on and explain it to our women to have a better understanding, because I think a lot of these issues are difficult for us to understand. And I'm doing this almost 30 years, and some of these issues are still hard for me to understand. Some of them still don't make any sense to me. So hopefully that'll be happening for us.
That would be great, because it's very healing when you can hear another perspective as well. You know, sometimes, because like you said, it's not, you know, it's not just about straight wives, which that's our main mission, but also some of the understanding comes from the other side. You know,
well, it's part of understanding, and I think it's part of healing for women.
Absolutely.
You know, a lot of women just will not be able to heal as long as these things remain mysteries or they can't understand why they're happening. And a lot of women will linger in anger, which will someday become bitterness because of the fact that they can't come to terms with this. And I always say that anger is really important, and it's part of the grieving phase, and it's a part that we all have to go through. But if you linger in anger and you can't get past it, then that anger does turn to bitterness. And once it turns to bitterness, then the only one it's hurting is you. I mean, it's not hurting your gay husband. You know, he's living his life. But that's why when we had Dr. Barbette on here and Francine talked about forgiveness, forgiveness is really important. But, of course, you know, my point of view is it has to be earned. But if a man is truly trying to earn it, you know, it's really important to try to at least meet him halfway on that. And a lot of that's for the sake of the children. But one of the issues that wasn't brought up that I think is so important, because we do have a number of gay men, you know, who are listening to this show, amazingly, but I do get three or four letters each week from gay men who are listening, and if they can get the word out or get the message out to their friends, I think that one of the reasons, like in that article, it was talking about the sooner the better to tell the children. And I know that we all have different points of or thoughts about this, because some people say, you know, the kids are too young to understand. Some of the gay fathers, they don't want their kids to turn on them. And I understand that. But why I think it's so important, and I don't think this is brought up enough, why gay men need to tell their children that they're gay is because a number of gay of children of gay parents are going to be gay. I mean, it's that simple. I mean, that's the reality. The statistics have shown that there's a higher percentage of children born of a gay parent than there are two straight parents. And I think about the struggles that the gay children are having and how much better it would be, at least if they knew that their fathers were gay or their mothers were gay, so that they wouldn't feel that they have to go through this struggle alone, and so that they do understand that they're not doing anything wrong. It's something that's just genetically predisposed, that they didn't have a choice in this matter, and to learn to accept it and to deal with it so they can have a healthy life. Do you think that's true?
I absolutely agree with that. What better way to start another generation of more healing and acceptance if one of your children is gay? And you know, you and I both know we work with a lot of women. This happens. So what better way to help that generation heal is to come out yourself, live your truth, and allow them to be nurtured and loved and not have to hide who they are, and let that child live in their own truth. Teach them by example, if that be the case.
And what really saddens me is that there are a number of gay children who have gay parents who won't come out, of course. Okay, it's one thing not to come out, but some of these guys are really homophobic because they're doing it to hide who they are, or they're doing it as a form of self-hatred. So then to double the injury, not only is the father gay, but the child's afraid to ever express himself or herself as being gay because they're afraid of the gay father who can't be honest about it. So that child really grows up with a lot of complications. I had a young man who tried to commit suicide when he was 16 or 17, because he couldn't deal with the fact that he was gay. And, of course, the father would never admit that he was gay until that happened. But, you know, he was making terrible homophobic comments all the time and talking down about gays. And so this kid, you know, who realized by the time he was 14 or 15 that he was gay, he really felt that he couldn't go on because of the homophobia of the gay father. And that's when I said, you know, this is really sad. That, you know, the father who's gay has to live a lie. He can't be honest with the kid. And the kid who's gay has to fight himself constantly thinking there's something wrong with being gay. So to me, that's like a really mixed up type of a situation. And so that's why I do believe that it's, no matter what the circumstances or consequences are, it is important for kids to know. And it does explain a lot why a marriage didn't work.
It does.
I think I'd rather take that risk.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
No, I think I'd rather take that risk of telling the children so
absolutely
they'll understand why a marriage didn't work than to have the kids thinking all the different kinds of things.
Hey, yeah, because children are going to make up reasons. And sometimes you'll be surprised. Some of the reasons they will make up are far worse than the truth. So tell those, you know, tell the truth and you know, and as you said, each situation's unique. Each child is unique. I work with some, you know, several women that they have children that have some mental disabilities. So of course, you know, you're going to have to tell them differently, or maybe wait longer. They're, each situation's different. Every situation's not set in stone. But I think the truth is best, because children do, and we've talked about this a little bit, are notorious for you know, going through what I call, and it's not I call, but it's called magical thinking. Whereas if they think up these wild and crazy things sometimes, they think they have control over things, and then they put the blame back on themselves. So it's like some kind of magic they've thought up. You know, maybe they were mad at their father once upon a time, and they'd say, oh, well, I just wish he would go away because he wouldn't let me have ice cream after dinner. You know, something that silly. But yet, you know, a month later he hears the parents are getting divorced, and you think, oh, no, I wish my father away over the ice cream. You know, I mean, it sounds silly, but children think that way. They
exactly
do the magical thinking, and sometimes they think it's their own fault. And you don't want to let a child growing up thinking it's their own fault.
Well, I think that's like a very important thing, that children feel very guilty when it comes to divorce to start with.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times when parents are fighting, they're fighting over the children and the ways that, you know, one parent is, you know, treating them versus the other. So when children hear that, they automatically feel that they're the cause of the fighting. So there's so many different complex issues with this whole straight gay marriage thing. And that's why people really need to get out there and, you know, hear the truth. You know, I was very distressed the other day. I was doing a radio show, and it was in Los Angeles. And it was really hard for me to understand when I went on the show and the host said to me that in this day and age, do you mean to tell me that people can't tell when somebody's gay?
Mm.
And I said, yes, they can't. I said, you know, it's not the kind of visual thing where, you know, you can see that. I said, there's no scarlet G on a man's head telling you that he's gay. And obviously the stereotypical ones that we see on television who are, you know, the effeminate, you know, stereotyped gay person, yes, you can tell them. But that's not what the majority of gay people are like. I mean, obviously if we could tell that, yes, we would know. But when you look at people who are football players and who are jocks and who are politicians, you know, who appear to be the straightest men in the world, like, how do you know? So, I mean, he's asking me in this day and age, you know, that women don't know. And I'm saying in this day and age, people are still making statements like that. You know, it's
exactly.
People don't get it.
They don't. I've had many comments directed towards me, such as that, you know, when someone asks me, you know, what's your profession? I say, you know, I do straight wife coaching with women. Oh, they, people still need that? This is, you know, 2010. And, you know, it, just like you said, those comments are very hurtful because oftentimes it lays blame on the straight wife for being, oh, she was so stupid that she married a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that easy. It's not. It's like you said, you know, many of these men are not, do not fit into the stereotype homosexual that someone has made up, you know, on TV characters and things like that. And it's terrible that people put them in that category.
I know. And that's why, you know, women themselves feel blindsided or stupid or how could I have not told? Well, we couldn't. And, you know, women shouldn't blame themselves unnecessarily. And, you know, we always say that if it was that simple to tell. I mean, if you knew for a fact that your husband had gay experiences before you married him, would you have married him, Misty?
I have to say no. I do not think that I would. But you have to realize I was married in the 1990s. Now, if that had been 10, 15 years earlier, I may would have, because you're still looking at a time when, you know, like in the early 70s, the American Psychological Association was labeling homosexuality as a mental disorder. So it being labeled as a mental disorder, if you had slept with men, that means that it could be, maybe it could be fixed.
Well, that's
maybe it could be changed.
And I grew up, you know, in the generation before you, so I was a child of the 60s and 70s. And guess what? If I knew that my husband had a gay, you know, encounter relationship before I married him, I would have married him anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because I certainly didn't understand homosexuality. I
mm-hmm.
thought, you know, according to Dr. Masters from Masters and Johnson or the Kinsey reports that were stating 87% of all men have some kind of same-sex encounter during the time of their life, and that doesn't make you gay. And I grew up in a time of the 1960s where anything was going on and everything was going on. I mean, I grew up for a few years in California where they were literally having orgies going on there, where men were with women and men and two men and women, everything, anything went. You know, it was a very
mm-hmm.
big drug culture type of thing. You know, people were stoned. I mean, this was my reality back then. And people were trying everything and anything. So, you know, if I knew that a man had a sexual encounter with another man, and in fact I was going with a man before I met my gay husband who had been with several men, and he said he tried it and he didn't like it, and he realized he was straight. And back then, I didn't know any better. We didn't know
exactly.
any better. There was no mass communication. There was no television shows putting this on. And we just assumed that it was a sexual experimentation that people talk about. And so that's why I say, would you have married somebody? Yeah, I would have. And I think even today, people don't understand it. They think if a man tried it and it wasn't what he wanted. He wants you. He loves you. He's treating you wonderful. He's having sex with you. You know, why wouldn't you want to marry him? You know, he wouldn't be gay if he's marrying you. So, you know, I think that you can't blame yourself. It's part of the society we live in. There's no way to tell. Even if somebody had an experience before, that doesn't automatically label him as gay. I mean, to us it does now, you know, you and me. But I'm saying that this is the way people think, and I understand that. You know, so
yeah.
Women who blame themselves, you know, how can you blame yourself? And people are still asking that question, couldn't you tell he was gay in this day and age?
I got that question directed at me probably less than a year ago from someone that I knew. Saying, oh, well, I knew he was gay. Why didn't you know he was gay?
Yeah, well, this was a radio commentator. And, you know, it's like recently on the radio they had this list of 15 ways to tell if your boyfriend or husband is gay. And I guess I took 10 of those reasons from my checklist in the Gay Husband Checklist book for women who wonder, and they added a couple more because all of them were the same as mine, and then they added a few more. Like, for instance, if a guy is totally decorating stuff. Well, I don't know. Are all decorators gay? All men who like to, you know, decorate houses? Maybe they are. I don't know.
I don't know either. I know mine fell into that category, so I can't really answer that question. That would hit too close to home because, you know, mine was just obsessed with the house, with the decor. But that doesn't mean that, you know, I had a wonderful uncle. He is deceased now, and he wasn't gay, but he had fine taste in decor. You know, he didn't get into it as much. He would pick it out, so to speak, whereas my ex now, he would just do the whole, you know, it was the whole thing. He would pick out the paint. He would do the paint. He would pick out the fabrics, I mean, everything. So, yeah, I don't think one thing makes you gay. I just think it's a, you know, an accumulation of things, and it's,
well,
you can't,
I mean,
be defined.
I mean, one thing is if a man wants a man, that is gay. But I'm saying
yeah.
that...
I think we completely agree on that.
Right. You know, I always say the big P is a great divider. If you want the P, it's G. So, you know, the point is that part we agree on. But I don't think that necessarily, because a man likes to decorate, you know, the house, that I would automatically... I mean, maybe now I would. But, I mean, there must be a straight man out there that's an interior decorator, I would think.
Has to be.
Maybe not. I mean, I don't know. I don't particularly know anybody that I could say, but maybe if anyone else would, you could let us know. If you're in the field of interior decorating, maybe, I mean, but I didn't go with an interior decorator, so that wasn't a sign for me. You know, that's one of those 15 signs they were reading on the radio. And, you know, like I say, we're very well aware of the signs now, but we weren't that well aware of them at the time, you know, and a lot of these signs are very well hidden because these guys don't want you to know what they are. So in the beginning, they're going to hide it from you. You know, they're hiding it from themselves, and they're able to, you know, get away with that. So anyway, Misty and I had made a decision that we said if we didn't have any callers on, we would cut our show after an hour. And tonight we're going to be doing that because since nobody's calling in, we really, you know, don't feel the need to have to stay on, right, Misty?
Exactly. I think we've given a lot of good information out tonight in this hour. It's gone by fast.
Yep, a lot of food for thought. And we'll be back next week at 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time. Just a few announcements we would like to make before we do hang up. One, I would like to talk once again, if you're interested in joining us for our healing weekend in Florida, Fort Lauderdale, November 6th and 7th. We still have slots that are available. So please get in touch with me at bonk@aol.com. It's going to be a remarkable weekend. I know that the women who have experienced before, they say it's really changed their whole lives just being together for this weekend. And whenever we have them, some people come back each time because they just love that feeling of making that connection with other women. And we do welcome you. Also, I do want to mention that on September 9th, I'm starting the Australia chat. However, we are welcoming our UK women also who are listening because it will take place on a Thursday afternoon for you because our regular chats are in the middle of the night. It will be Australian time for Sydney and Melbourne at 9 o'clock at night. And we're really excited about that. We have some women who've already responded who want to be part of our Australian chats once a week on Thursday nights, Australia time. So if you are listening and you're interested in that, so please let me know. And also in September, we're going to be working that month on children, adult children of gays, and getting a support group going for them. So if you have adult children or late teenage years and they need support, this is an opportunity to get that kind of support where they're not finding it in other places. So if you have children in that situation, please write to me. Also, if you're listening to this newscast and you don't get my newsletters, they come out every month, please write to me at bonk@aol.com, and I'll be happy to add you to my mailing list. And Misty, do you want to talk a little bit about your workshops coming up?
Yes, I'd like to. I have two coming up next month. The first one will be the Saturday seminar, which will be held on September the 11th, not an easy date for the Americans to forget, that will be hosted from 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. The topic of this Saturday seminar is called The Journey. Basically, it's just going to give you an overview of the journey. You can ask questions. There will be certain topics because many issues are very related to many women. There's a lot of commonality, so we will be going over that. And the best part about the seminars is that you're able to connect with other women from all over the world, and you get to feel that the healing quality come together by just being together. And it's so easy to participate in these, in the workshops and seminars, because if you can dial a telephone number, you can participate. And you come together on a conference line where everyone is in one call together, and it's just amazing the benefits that I hear and the feedback that I get back from the women that participate. So the journey is just, it's going to be a general topic, because there's so many different situations that are very similar, even though they're different, but they're very, they have that common thread, and that's what we'll be focusing on, as well as we'll be doing some specific guided activities on the call, because when you hang up on that phone call, I want you to be in a better place, because I know many people don't have a lot of time to devote to themselves, but in this call, we will go over things. And there will be a few discussions and activities where you should feel better when you hang up the phone. The other topic that we will be discussing, not topic, but it's a workshop coming up called Rediscovering Yourself. I've gotten a lot of requests for this, and several people have already signed up, so those spots are going pretty fast. This is a four-week online/telephone workshop. And the only thing you need to be able to do online is to be able to know how to receive and or send an email, because you will be getting some instructions, you know, workbook, things of that nature for the workshop. It's four consecutive weeks, like I said. We'll meet every Monday night from 8:30 to 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time live through a telephone call, and they're wonderful. I have many women that have forged friendships from these workshops, and they continue to support each other today. So it's just a wonderful workshop. We will discuss things and go over things that will help you rediscover who you are. We will work on self-esteem, things like Bonnie and I discussed tonight. So it's just a very well-rounded workshop. And with the workshops, you get a little extra time and more individual time. So if you ever have specific needs or questions, we always encourage those in the workshop. So, Bonnie, those are the two things coming up. And if they want any information, of course, you always have it in your newsletter, where they can email me, Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall, @AOL.com. And you can give us the northern version of that, if you will.
The Yankee version is Misty Lynn Hall, MistyLynnHall. Is there an E on there?
That's right, @AOL.com.
No E on Lynn, right?
Oh, I'm sorry, no. No E on
right.
LynnN, correct.
Right, sometimes it's hard for me to understand Kentucky talk. I'm sorry, Misty.
I'll forgive you just this one time, okay?
I really do try, but sometimes, you know,
I know.
That northern ear. It just gets me down here. But, yes, and also if you have a chance to look at Misty's new website, you're going to love it. It's mistyhall.com, MISTIHALL.com. You can learn a lot about Misty and what she does and about her counseling and coaching. And certainly Misty is so, I mean, just so soothing to people and so helpful to people who are looking to move ahead in their lives. And I think that if you're listening to this radio show, you're definitely, you know, looking to move ahead. I would like to thank all of our listeners and, you know, our people who give us feedback, who send us emails, you know, each week thanking us and appreciating what we're doing, including our gay men listeners. I thank you for shedding insight and sending us letters to try to help women have better understanding. Mark, if you're listening to this, you know, I hope that your weekend is going to be, you know, an easier road for you for the future, you know, by telling your wife the truth. You know, we always encourage our men to be honest with their wives. We know it's the hardest thing you're going to have to do. It'll be the worst day of your life. I mean, I can't think of any day that's going to be worse than having to tell your wife that you're gay. But, it, you know, there's a lot of truth to that saying, the truth will set you free. You know, once the words are spoken, you can't take them back, but you can move forward from there. And if any of our men need support, I have some excellent men who are part of our support network, including our friend Steve. I'm saying hi to you, Steve, you know, for also sending us some wonderful email and feedback. And, you know, we do have men all over the place who are really willing to help. So please just let me know and, you know, I'll hook you up with the support that you're looking for through this journey. Don't feel that you have to do it alone. We're here for your wives. You know, I'm here for you and to get you to other people who can help you in a better way and more meaningful way just by writing to me at bonk@aol.com. So, Misty, I want to wish you a wonderful week. Is it hot in Florida right now?
It is hot. Yes, it is.
Well, please don't send the heat our way. They already told us we're going
to
have a week of 90s here in Philadelphia.
I'll try to keep it all here. I'll keep it all down here. How's that?
I mean, we had like 4 good days and now they're over. And
oh, no.
Back. Yeah. But hopefully next Sunday when we're back on the show, it'll cool off a little bit, hopefully. Is there a storm coming your way? I see there's some kind of storm in the ocean.
There are lots of storms, but thankfully I think we're being missed. We have the ocean. Oh, my goodness, it's roaring. I mean, you can hear it. From my bedroom, you can hear it so loud where the waves are really high. There's a lot of surfers out there. But I heard on the news that there was a lot of rescues that took place yesterday because so many of the surfers and the young kids like to get out there when the waves are huge, and, of course, that can be dangerous. So the waves are huge from the hurricanes, but it's beautiful weather here. Just a little on the warm side, but beautiful.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention, you know, it's the 5-year anniversary of Hurricane Katrina.
Oh, yeah.
So I know that there's a lot of different kinds of ceremonies going on with that. And
I can't imagine. I can't imagine. We went through, in 2004, we went through Hurricane Jean and Hurricane Frances, which were terrible, but they did not hold a lot to what Katrina was. So I cannot imagine. My heart definitely goes out to all those.
Terrible. And all these years later, there's so much of that area that hasn't recovered from it yet. And I don't know if it ever will. I mean, thousands of lives were lost. I don't think that people really could understand the magnitude of that problem, and I'm guilty of that as well. It wasn't until recently I was helping someone edit a book about Katrina and all the different stories from people who were survivors of Katrina that I really took a real true appreciation to it. And, you know, I just didn't at that point, you know, you saw things on television, you saw floods, and, you know, they were over some of the houses. But when you think of the tens and hundreds of thousands of people who were displaced, and the way that they had to live for weeks and months and not, if not years, and some of them never recovered, you know, they never got their houses back, they're destroyed, they lost everything, you know, that is so sad. So it's a real tribute to the humanity down in that area, the people helping people. It really does, you know, renew your faith in humanity. But for those of you who are in that area, you know, our hearts are with you this week. As you commemorate, you know, that most horrific event, I think, in my lifetime in this country that took place.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess that's all the news there is to say, right, Misty?
I think that's it.
All right, so everybody have a wonderful week. Be good to yourself. as our friend Gail and Kana always says, be gentle with yourself. And we'll be back here next Sunday night. And thanks so much for listening to our Straight Wives Talk Show. And have a good night. Good night, Misty.
Good night, and love to all. Bye-bye.
All right, bye-bye.